Okay. Hopefully the voice of it is over.
Let's take our Bible, please,
and open them to Luke chapter 6. One of your choruses earlier touched base with this. You have lively preliminaries here, more so in the evening than in the morning. You might have seen my attendance a few evenings past. That's why I came, because such preliminaries are not found everywhere. So I just love popping by and hearing you folks really join in and do your thing in praising Him. I think you have unleashed it, so most of you will try to follow our thoughts here. Okay, Luke chapter 6, verses 47, 48, and 49. We read, the Lord is speaking, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." May God bless the reading of his word. You will see the title of our thoughts this morning, "Looks Can Be Deceiving." Looks can be deceiving. Certainly this is so appropriate in today's world. Perhaps it was always so, but I think it's more so now than ever. Indeed, as we move around, we see this in every aspect of life, that you can't measure someone by, or something, by the way it appears. Socially, we are so proper at times, and other times we are so improper. When it comes to our health, we go to the doctor, some of us, on early January, and we have a clean bit of health. So it appears, so it looks. And by the end of January, we're gone. Looks can be deceiving, isn't that true? So true. When it comes to professional life, the same thing is true. The same thing is true. I recall an occasion some years ago where we purchased some goggle eyes. You do know what goggle eyes are, I hope. They are not these and these. No, they're fish, and they're very tasty. But you have to be somewhat careful in how you go about cooking them, especially frying them. We were going off on a sporting trip, and all of us were sitting up on top of the house having a big conversation about everything that we could think about. I was the appointed cook at that time, but we had put someone in place to assist me. So I turned around to this fellow. I said, "Now, I'm going to do most of the cooking for most of the trip. So this evening, you go down and you take over supper." He didn't want to go down, because he wanted to stay in what was happening, but he went down. And within 20 minutes, he shouted off, he said, "Come along, supper's ready." We had goggle eyes, and he had fried them. And he had fried them swiftly. And when you do that, they look good. But when you open them up, ooh, look can be deceiving. Look can be deceiving. So true. And we find that all around us. Hey, true. I recall 2 days ago when I went by the food store. My car's trunk is a complicated car trunk. This is true of all of my car, by the way. But the trunk more so than the rest. Normally you have to press on it pretty calmly at a certain spot, and it closes properly. If you don't do that, you're going to bang and bang and bang, and nothing's going to happen. So I ran by, and the fellow brought out my groceries, and he put them in, and he banged on it. Wrong thing to do. So he banged again. By then he stopped, and he looked at me, and said, "I can't understand it." He says, "That car right there, that I took care of 5 minutes ago, is just like your car." He says, "And I pushed that trunk down once and closed. This isn't true of your car." Then I showed him how it was done. My car was just like that car, but look, can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving. He went away shaking his head. All right. Well, let's get to our text. Let's get to our text. We see the builders had the same resolve. The builder had the same resolve. Each desired to build a house. Each desired to build a house. That is a proper resolve to have, by the way. There's nothing wrong in desiring to build a house. In olden days, especially on the islands, you had to have the house before you got the cage. You have to have the cage before you got the bird. That isn't true today. Why that was true back at the island? Because there were few places to rent, and you weren't coming to mommy and daddy's place because they already had 7, 8, and 10 children, and they couldn't accommodate any in-laws. So you had to have your place built before you got married. That has changed a bit now, because now they get married and there's places for rent, and so they don't need to build their own house. But for these two builders, they had a resolve, they had an idea, they had a goal to meet. They each had to build a house. And let's see how they went about building their houses. First, we see by the thought, too, that they probably had the same resources. There's no indication here that either one lacked anything. The resources weren't the problem. The builders were the problem, from what we gather according to our text. By the way, in the chorus that we rendered earlier, they talked about rain and flood. As we see here, there's no rain involved. There's only a flood. And so we see these men have the same resources, tools and rocks, no doubt. And whatever else were needed, they were in place, my belief is. Because to have such a resolve, you have to put things in place to bring about your desires. And so I believe everything was there in place for both builders. We see that one, in verse 8, we see that this one, as they call the wise builder. The wise builder. Wisdom and lack of wisdom isn't mentioned here wordly, but we know that it's here. This one built a house and he digged deep. Note that phrase, please. He digged deep. He digged deep. It is good to dig deep in the Lord. And whenever we dig deep in the Lord, it will show its way out in our ways and our thoughts and in our every wherewithal. If we dig deep in the Word, if our desire is to dig deep in Christ, we shall be better Christians. We shall go about accomplishing something for Him, because why? Our desire is to know more about Him. And so we dig deep in the Word. And when we dig deep in the Word, beloved, we are refreshed thereby, and we are encouraged thereby. And so I say to all of you, perhaps you're already digging deep. I say to you, dig deeper. Dig deeper. More about Jesus, what I know. More of His love to others show. More of His kindness shown. More of His love who died for me. The last two lines, as you know, were a little mixed up. Forgive me, please. But we have the thoughts in mind. If we want to know more about Him, we have to go to the Word. We have to go to the Word. We have to dig deep. We have to dig deep. I recall one time back in my fishing days, sometimes that appears to be 40 years back. It's only 4 years. Wow. Time is either creeping or flying. I'm not sure which. But for three weeks, I studied the Book of Psalms, chapter 119. That's a heavy psalm. There is much studying to do there. And at the end of that 3 week period, I have barely scratched the surface. There is so much that we can acquire from that one portion of Scripture. But when we dig deep, it shows itself in how we walk and how we talk. And praise God, there are some of you I know who still desire to dig deep and who are still digging deep. And our digging deep shouldn't stop until we see Him. Okay, the first one, he digs deep and he laid the foundation on a rock. Hey, that's a beautiful aspect of it. Not just to dig deep, but to make sure the foundation is resting on a rock. Recently, we visited Grand Bahama on Wednesday, four of us from our association. I was privileged to be one of the four. We saw some terrible sights. We saw some heart-breaking sights. We saw some nerve-disturbing sights. In Freeport, I saw something there that was really outstanding. There were many houses that were damaged, many. There were many fallen trees around these houses. Now, get the picture. I did not see every house. I give you the picture of the houses that I did see. They were battered and torn by the storm, but there were large trees
Some had fallen on the sides of the houses, 3 feet away, 10 feet away. Some had fallen on the back of the houses on it, 10 feet away, 6 feet away. The same thing in front, but I didn't see a house with a large tree falling on top of it. I could not believe it. And they hadn't been taken away. It just did not happen. God saw fit to do so much, or allow so much, and no more. That's why we love him, because he's real. He knows what to give, when to give, and how to give it. He knows what to take, when to take, and how to take it. Because why? He is sovereign. And it's amazing, but his sovereign love involves you and me. Isn't that good to know that he's the greatest of the great, yet he saw fit to touch basically the poorest of the poor. How that he came and went all the way to Calvary in order to redeem us, in order to make us children of God. But you see that this wise man, the wise man, we'll get to the earlier thought in the chorus, he built his house upon a rock. But I said that, say this, we went by Alukea. That's a beautiful building. Let's see the hands of those who've seen Alukea down in the Freeport.
None of you?
It's a beautiful building. Wow. And as we drove by, I made a comment or two along those lines. And Pastor Thompson, who was driving with us, he said, it looks good, but they have a problem. He says, they dug here, he said, 75 and 80 feet deep. Put the foundation down, he says. But apparently, even going that deep, they still couldn't find any rock. But they laid the foundation, and the foundation is there, he says, and the place is there. It looks beautiful, but they claim, he says, that every 5 years or so, it's slowly sinking a quarter of an inch at a time. It looks good, but it's not great. Why? Because the foundation is laid. They dug deep, but they did not find any rock. They did not find any rock. The point is, those of us that love Christ, when we dig deep, when we're standing on the rock is with us. And when we dig deep, the rock digs with us. And when we go down, he goes with us. And he enlightens himself to us more and more as we desire to be like him. I found that so strange, he said. Not before long, he said, something big will happen to this place. Because some of the doors, even now, he says, are falling out of place because the building is slowly sinking. It was not founded upon a rock. So we see the first fellow, he was real smart. He built his house on a rock. And then the flood arose. The stream beat vehemently upon that house. Get the picture here. Tough times were down the road for this building and for the other building. This indicates to us that tough times await the believer and the unbeliever. We are not immune to problems. We are not immune to life's adversity. Sooner or later, they will come our way. They will come our way. But, beloved, if our house is built on Christ, we can be more than conquerors even through those tribulations. Why? Because the one living within us is greater than the one within the world, and we need not give up. We need not go under, because we are standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Wholly lean on Jesus. We have a neighbor, a strange neighbor, a lovely neighbor, a gentleman, so ladies and gentlemen, a gentleman, by the way, and he comes by my place occasionally and we have prayer. He's of another denomination. He's a Christian. A heady Christian, as you'll hear me explain soon. I took my little grandson for a walk one night, rather late. Dark had shut in, and I happened to be walking past his place, and on the way there, both that visit and earlier visits, there's a lot of bad dogs in the area. So I've taught my grandson to say, be quiet, but he can't say it, so he does this number. When the dogs are barking, he's making noise, he does this number. As I passed by the neighbor, he asked me to come in, which I did, and my grandson, then maybe what, 12, 15 months, was sitting on my lap, and this gentleman started talking about the Lord. And how that the Lord had done great things for him and was still doing great things for him, which I delighted to hear. And then he said something like this. He said, it all happened in 1962. That's when I had a change of pace and a change of life. I said, what happened in 1962? He said, I was having my devotion, and I walked on deck. He's a seaman, by the way. I walked on deck. On deck means the top of the boat, by the way. And as I walked on deck, he says, I was looking up in the heavens, and I saw 7 moons. I said, wow, 7 moons. Yes, he said. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, and do you know something? I haven't sinned since. I say, wow, that's great. I say, that's 42 years, brother. And you haven't sinned since. He says, no. He says, and he got worked up. You know? And my little grandson said, and the wife came and she said, what is he doing? I said, I'll tell you later. But we settled things, but this time I said, sir, you don't belong down here. You belong up there. 42 years without a sin. Wow. Now, when we sin, we don't go about sinning. But surely there's no one can be perfect in 42 years, my Lord. That would be something. We wouldn't need his forgiving grace after we became Christians if we never sinned anymore. We don't go about sinning willingly. But when we sin, if we sin, we have an advocate that we go to. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that. I love all unrighteousness. Beautiful. The builders had the same resources. Okay, and the storm came. The storm came. And get this phrase. Did you notice this phrase? They could not shake it. Wow. I mean, that's heavy. That house was well built. Right, Brother Happy? The storm could not shake it. We have a home up at Kern. His name is, a gentleman, his name is Ollie. He's in glory now, I hope. And he married my younger sister. When he first came to court, my sister, way back there some almost 100 years ago, not quite that long, but anyway, he started to build this house with £5. £5. That sounds little, now, and little then. But he built this house, it took him 2.5 years, and no wonder, because he built the walls of that building 15 inches deep with solid concrete, and steel all through the place. He says, I don't want this to come down. And the builder who knew a little says, brother, this won't come down. And Hurricane Andrew came back there in 92, as you know, and demolished the current. Demolished the houses all around Ollie's house. But that house did not shake. That house did not shake. It just stood there. I think the roof became a little battered, but the foundation of that house and the walls of that house didn't shake because it was built upon a rock and built, I use the word sensibly, but I won't, built greatly. Okay, it could not shake, it says in the latter part of verse 8:48, because it was founded upon a rock. It was founded upon a rock. I appeal to our audience today. Are you standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus? Are you sure that things are right with you and God? Are you sure that if Jesus could come today and take you away or come by rapture, that we would go to be with him in heaven? That is something to be sure about. You might be sure of you're going to have lunch. That's good. You might be sure of you're going to have supper. That's great. You might be sure of you're going to sleep tonight or they're going to work tomorrow. All those things are good, but none of those things are as good and as great as knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are right with God, that you are building upon the rock Christ Jesus, and that no storm, physical, mental, material, no storm can harm you, because he is with you. He is with you. Yes, it was founded upon a rock, the latter part of verse 48 says. Now, of course, when we have hurricanes, as we know, unfortunately, if there's an ocean swell, of that type, even if it's founded upon a rock, at times it goes down. Because upward current, we had 2 or 3 houses there that were built upon the rock, and they were built properly. But Hurricane Andrew came along with an ocean swell and just set them down as if they were cardboard houses. That's unfortunate. Now those people have wisely gone up on a hill, and they're built properly up there, and those places will stay. Down at Grand Bahama, let me share a few thoughts with you, please. I do have 45 more minutes, don't I?
No, not quite. All right.
We did some visiting. We visited some of the folk of the assembly. Brother Thompson led the way, and we had prayer with them from the path, a little walking we had to help. And then we moved on to West End. West End is demolished. Totally. Not 9/10, 10/10, plus. I haven't seen anything like that in all of my life. It's worse than a horror movie. There's not a house standing. At Current, you see, when Hurricane Andrew came, Current had an elevated location, a hill. And some of the houses in those days, and still, were built upon that hill. And because of being built upon a hill, they survived Andrew. But these houses down at West End, there was no hill. And every house went under, that I could see under completely. I did see a big clearing out spot, and it hurt my heart, and his heart too, I know. Because they had a big table on display there. There were three or four men sitting around that table, and that was the only area that I saw cleared out. You had the table spread. Do you know what the table was spread with? Liquor. There were small bottles and bigger bottles and bigger bottles. And they were sitting there drinking their liquor. I said, my God, isn't this something? Tragedy hasn't touched them yet. A leper can't change its spots, so it appears, without someone comes in to change them. I said to Pastor Thompson, I said, this bewilders me. I said, you know what I combine is the wrath of God and the wrath of nature combined. He says, I say, how about you? He says, the same. I say, tell me please, do you know the history of this place? He says, yes, let me tell you a little. I won't tell you what he told me, but after he said what he said, then I didn't have to wonder anymore why this place was demolished. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's written here, and that will be fulfilled one day, someday soon, someday late. But when God sees fit to come through, he will come through. If we love him, he will make sure that our love is enjoyed and appreciated and put in place. Those that don't love him, those that mistrust him, those that live wickedly will either suffer here or certainly suffer hereafter. The laws are written. The laws are written and shall be carried out fully. God has said so. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The house is stood on different reproach. Let's move down to verse 49, please. We see that the wise man he built on a rock and he dig deep. And because of that, the house didn't even shake. Wow. For it was founded upon a rock. 49 gives a picture of another builder and another house. He that heareth and doeth not, says our Lord, is like a man without a foundation. Built a house upon the earth. This man without a foundation, using no wisdom, built his house upon the earth. And so we have that, in our fourth presentation. The houses share the same resemblance. We'll get to that in a minute or two. It was built upon the earth. I just can't be bothered, he said, with all this rigmarole of digging a foundation. And what's the problem, man? He said, at the end of the day, my house will look just like yours. I'll bet you, maybe even look better than yours. So he went to no trouble to build a foundation. He simply built upon the earth or upon the sand, like the chorus said. How foolish. How foolish it is to put so much expenditure and so much effort into something and not do it properly. And not do it properly. I find that so puzzling indeed. But this is the way that man went, and that was just a material way. Unfortunately, not too many people are making that same mistake today. They might be digging a foundation. I don't think all is digging deep enough, or all are building on rock, but they are not foolish like this man in material matters. They are digging. But there were so many like him in spiritual matters. They are not digging. They have heard the gospel countless times, and they are still unsaved. They go about life as if life will never end on this side, but life will end one day. I took a walk up around
before back then, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I guess it was. And this gentleman was exercising. He was putting all he had into it. He was at least my age or older, and that's getting pretty old for exercising anyway. I said to him, I said, sir, you're doing okay? Yes, yes. He said, I'm fine. I do this 5 days a week. I said, good. I said, you're taking care of the physical body. Now, what about the spiritual body? Oh, he said, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. He looked at me and he says, it's a shame you can't leave her alive, hey. He said, that's why I'm ready. He says, you can't leave her alive. He didn't read the rapture. One day, maybe I'll go by and share that with him. But what he was saying, he can't leave her alive. He knows he wants to die. But in the meantime, he's going to put it all into being the best he can while he's living. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't find that much. What did make me happy was the fact that he was ready to go. I stopped into a store on Matthew Street. I stopped to say this, please. As I said earlier, I want your thoughts to go beyond me. What happened with me because he brought it about. I did nothing on my own. I have no merit. God put things in place for me and for you as he sees fit. And we know that when God works, he works marvelously, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Amen, amen. So my thoughts are not of myself, please, they're about him. God has changed me and God has changed you. And when God changes well, doesn't he? Amen, amen. I stopped into the store on this gentleman over yonder. Oh, Mr. Neely, he said, I haven't seen you for a while. He said, you don't come around the waterfront anymore. I said, well, yeah, I do, but not as often as I did. He said, well, what are you into these days? I said, I'm a full-time worker for the Lord. He said, wow, that great man. He said, you couldn't do anything better than that. He said, hey, I'm happy for you. I looked at him because I knew his past life. I didn't know his present life until he spoke. I said, sir, how are you with the Lord? Oh, he says, not too good. He's going one day and I'm going another. I looked at him and said, my God, isn't that something? God can stand by and let so many people mock him of his mercy and grace. God's doing one thing, he said, and I'm doing another. There's thousands out there in our Bahama land and throughout our Western world that seeing life the same, that I can do what I like, hey, but not as long as I like. Take this. You can do what you like for a while, but one day your doing will stop. And when your doing stops, God's doing starts. And if you don't have him, you're in for plenty of trouble. This minister was getting real worked up with the audience. He said, hey, he says, repent now. Repent now, he says, and get right with God and go to heaven. Because he said, if you don't get right with God and go to heaven, then you die, you're going to hell. And there he says, you're going to begin for a lot of trouble. He says, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This lady, by the way, who was, by the way, held up her hand, sir, she says, they have a problem with me. What's that, he says? She said, I don't have any teeth. He says, teeth shall be provided. Okay, he's gonna make sure you don't go to sleep on us now. Thank you. Okay, he that heareth and doeth, doeth not. That's it. We not only have to hear, but we have to do. Like a man that without a foundation built on a house upon the earth. See the houses we see in the fourth of your notes. They look the same. They look the same. But looks can be deceiving. Perhaps they have the same spiraling roof. They have the same sparkling windows. At least these are the modern buildings, right? And then they had spacious rooms. You know, the living room was wow, out of this world. And we had the joy to go to a special place in Abaco that had a lovely, spacious kitchenette. I won't call the name of the owner of that place, but he knows who he is. I say, hey, this is a beautiful kitchen. And I took a picture of that kitchen. I took it back home. My wife said, wow, she says, I'd love to have a kitchen like that. I say, to do what? Get lost in it? But it was a good place. And one of these, it had spacious rooms. And it had special conveniences. You know, that's the way the houses are today. Central air condition. In that case, my place isn't modern. But all this stuff were in place, perhaps. At least it's in place today. But even with all of that, they looked the same. Yeah, but something was wrong, as we saw. They looked the same, but they didn't have the same foundation. Okay, let's move on. The houses encountered similar realities. As we mentioned earlier, the floods and streams encompass them. Floods and streams encompass them. And this happened to both houses. And as we mentioned earlier, this is a picture of earth in general, of our people in general, how that Christians and non-Christians will, without doubt, pass through the same circumstances time and time again. But we have God, and they don't have God. Yes, they have similar realities, floods and streams and conflict, but the one built on the earth, look at what happened. The latter part of verse 49, and immediately it fell. It didn't take long for things to fall in place there. You live improperly, you die improperly. The house is built foolishly, the house falls foolishly. Immediately it fell. I looked at that, I say, wow, isn't this something? Isn't this something that when things begin to happen, they happen swiftly. They happen swiftly. And we see this happening all around us. All around us. I recall going at the office of my wife's doctor in February or March of this year. There was an elderly gentleman there, and he looked a little friendly. Normally I chat with them whether they look friendly or not, because looks can be deceiving. But I said something to him, and he answered, and I said something like this. Are you a believer? He said, oh, young man, I'm a believer for 84 years. I said to myself, something's wrong here. I said, sir, how old are you? He said, 84 years. I said, oh, to myself, that was wrong. I said, sir, tell me how you could be just 84 years old and be a Christian for 84 years. Oh, simple, young man, simple, he said. My father simply took me in his arms. Then I was a young fellow and introduced me, that's his father, introduced me to the Christian faith. And I've been a Christian ever since. I say, Lord, you had a problem today. So I sat there, sir, I said, it doesn't go like that. Young man, tell me what doesn't go like that. I said, the Bible. How does the Bible go? So I told him, you had to be born again. You had to trust Christ for forgiveness of sins. I told him Romans 10 and 9. Young man, he says, you are so confused. Yes, yes, you see out there, unfortunately, so many church audience go to church and they sit there. And whatever the speaker tells them, they swallow that hook, line, and sinker. So over the years, his speakers must have been telling him that if you look right, you will be right. But that's not it. You gotta get to the heart. You gotta come to Jesus. You have to be born again. It's not how you look. It's not whether you come to church every time. It's not whether we sing in the choir. It's not whether we look proper and treat our neighbors good and love our children and our... No, no. It takes... That is good. But that is not good enough. That's the only way it looks. It goes deeper. It goes deeper. We have to be born again. We have to be born again. And that's why we preach the gospel, because the gospel says, except a man be born again or a woman, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Look at note 6, please. The houses experienced different results. He already mentioned the house on the rock could not shake. Beautiful. I love that phrase. The house on sand fell immediately. Fell immediately. And that's what happens when we leave here. When we leave here, life here ceases immediately. And we go to another world. We either go because those of us who love God, we're walking on the straight and narrow, which leads to life everlasting, the word says. And those who do not know God, the unbeliever, are walking on the broad road, which leads to destruction. So we know where these two groups are going. The group who loves the Lord are going to heaven. The group that doesn't love the Lord is going to heaven. Going to heaven. The word says so. And it shall happen. It shall happen. Oh, we pray though, don't we, that our loved ones and that our friends would know what it is to trust Him and to be born again. One last illustration before we close, please. 11 days ago, I think it is, maybe 12, I left the chapel office to take a walk down Bay Street. Now, that's an unusual thing today, to walk down Bay Street. Hey, when last have you walked down Bay Street? Those of you who haven't walked in under 15 years, hold your hand, please. Who hasn't walked down Bay Street in less than 15 years. See, he don't walk Bay Street anymore, do we? Matter of fact, I wonder if he even rides Bay Street. But anyway, that's by the way. But
I had a job to do down at a friend's place. I wanted to get in touch with her brother, and I couldn't find the name listed in the book, and so for those reasons I had to walk down Bay Street. I stopped in Hole in the Wall. Now, most of us, I believe, know where Hole in the Wall was. It's still there, by the way. It's operated by different people, but it's still there. And I stopped in there. There were three people there. There was an elderly woman that seemed to remember me from earlier days. How early, she didn't say. Another lady was there, maybe 40 or so years old. Another gentleman, perhaps 60 or more. And I told them who I was and my profession and what was happening with me, and I had a card or two, and I turned to the lady first. I said, "Ma'am, are you ready for heaven?" She said, "Look here," she said, "I go to church every Sunday morning without fail." She said, I'm there, she said. I've been doing that for years. And then she stopped. And I looked at her, I said, "But ma'am, can that make you straight for heaven?" She was honest, you know. She looked at me, she said, "I don't believe so." I said, "So you have a problem." I looked at the lady next to her, I said, "Ma'am, you look intelligent, and what have you? You have a pastor and a church?" She says, "Yes." I said, "Your pastor preaches salvation," she says, "every Sunday." I say, "Are you born again?" She says, "Not quite, I don't believe." I said, "Blessed Father." I turned to the other gentleman. I said, "Sir, how are you doing?" "I'm okay. I'm listening to you all." I said, "Okay. Do you want to listen to you now? Are you a Christian?" He said, "I'm sure trying." I said, "I've been trying for years." He said, "But the last 2 years, I've been trying hard again." I said, "Lord, have mercy." I said, "Sir, just try and do it." He says, "I don't know. What do you think?" And then I shared the gospel. These are Bahamians. The fact is that the gospel is being preached day after day, week after week. And they were three. And neither one of the three was short of going to heaven. That's sad, you know. Just short of so many things of less importance. But the thing that we should be sure of, our eternal destiny, they're not sure of that. My God, my God. That's why we must keep on. There's a lot of work to be done. Okay, closing now. In one, the deliverance was great because it was built on stone. In the other, the destruction was great because it was built on sand. And isn't it beautiful? God's deliverance with us has been great. To the extent whereby it required his only begotten son to come and die on Calvary in order to redeem us. He died the just for the unjust, the word says, that he might bring us to God. So our deliverance was great for him. It cost him so much. For us, it cost nothing. We simply came by faith and received of his finished work and received of his salvation. Indeed, salvation was something that money could buy. The rich would live, but the poor would die. But you see, the deliverance is there for us and for all others who will go by the way of the cross. But if we don't have deliverance, we have destruction. There is one or the other. We are either delivered or we are destroyed. Deliverance lasts forever. Destruction lasts forever. That's the problem that so many people have with destruction. It doesn't last forever, they say. You go down there and you're done away with automatically. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Maybe that's why there's so many out there that doesn't worry too much, because they've been told that, hey, when you leave here, no problem. You go there and poof, it's finished. It's not finished. It shall go on forever. Yes, yes, the deliverance was great. Our deliverance isn't complete yet, you know. Hey, we have a wonderful closing stage of our deliverance. When one day soon we'll be with him. It shall not always be the way it is now. For those of us who have sad experiences, it will not always be so. Sad days will give place to glad days. For those of us whose life is comfortable, I'm happy for you. You have a comfortable life. I am not jealous. God has seen fit to make life pleasant for you. And that makes me happy because he's sovereign. But you know, whether good or bad, Soon it's going to end here. And then we're going to be with him. Yes, going to be with him. It'll be then our deliverance shall be complete and shall be eternal. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts as we close for his name's sake. Dear God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our deliverance through him and by him. how that he died for us, and we by simple faith, by believing, we are receiving. And so we are a happy people because we are a holy people. You have made us holy. But those are God who do not know you, who are yet living in sin, who do not know the forgiveness of sins. We pray, our God, that if there's anyone in our midst today, that you will come in by your Spirit and speak to this one, so that today will be their day of decision. For those of us who have just been skimming the surface of the Word, help us, our God, to dig deeper and to enjoy the jewels of the Bible, for they are here for our spiritual benefit and for your glory. Bless ourselves and our efforts and other churches too, we pray today, where the Word has been preached. We give you thanks now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.